Vegetable soup for the start. Potatoes, chicken nuggets, and corn. Cherry and apple pie to finish up.
Sounds real good. Hope it's not gone sour over the years.
Tins would have blown. Should be fine. Ugh, but that sound... Oh, but that smells wonderful, guys. I can't wait.
And look what I found to go with it.
The armorer brandished a ribbed bottle, half full of a dark amber liquid.
What's that?
Doc, who'd been fiddling with some sort of electrical control unit in the corner of the dining area, glanced around.
Why, that is Southern Comfort, child. The peach nectar of the gods. Set 'em up, John Barrymore Dix. Best damned barman from Portland, Maine to somewhere else. Make it one for my baby and one for the road.
It was a truly magical evening. Christy found some old wax candles in a tiny cupboard marked Emergency Illumination, and they dimmed the overhead neon strips and sat in the soft pools of spilled golden light. The Southern Comfort was as marvelous as Doc had said, brimming over with the taste of peach summers, long, long dead and buried in wastelands of glowing ash. The heated food was some of the best any of them had ever tasted. The soup was a little thick on additives and preservatives, though Lori had succeeded in scooping most of it from the top. Doc had managed to get the range of concealed speakers around the angles of the room to function, digging out a set of CDs to accompany the meal. Most of it was what he called classical music. Ryan would personally have liked some songs with words, but he had to admit the gentle rhythm went well with the unhurried, peaceful meal.
This music is simply lovely, isn't it?
No, wait.
That's what I was thinking.
Philistines.
JB caught Ryan's eye.
Got a feeling our arrival here is starting to set some malfunction chains toppling over.
Could be. It's happened before. You pick something up and it works. Hasn't been touched in 100 years and it still works. And 10 seconds later it falls apart right between your fingers.
The candles were guttering. Lori had also gone scavenging and come across a box that had once held some chocolate-covered peppermint candy, but it had gone as hard as stone, and nobody could eat any.
Ouch! This is total bullshit!
The red-faced teenager suddenly left the supper table before the others and wandered off to the room she was sharing with Doc.
My lovely flower sure gets touchy these days. Must be the generation gap. I dare say there must be something like 8 generations between us. I hadn't thought about it like that before.
Figure I'll go to sleep.
Jack stood up and stretched like a cat.
You know, that was one of the best times.
He nodded to his 4 friends and went off to bed, a little way along the passage from the dining area. Christy topped off her mug from the pan of coffee that still bubbled on the stove, listening to the melancholy music in the background.
The music? It's sad, Doc. What is it? Violin or something deeper?
Cello, my dear lady. A piece by an Englishman called Edward Elgar. I met him once, as I recall. Slip of a man, yet he burned like a flame. It must have been... Oh, I disremember.
You're like a living time machine, Doc.
There are times, have been times, when I have wished only that this time machine could grind to a halt, my dear.
You've got friends, Doc.
I have a wife, and I have 2 children. No. No, Ryan, I no longer have a wife. Emily Louise is dead and buried in the family vault in Deadwood. Mount Moriah, I think it was. Up a steep hill among trees with a view across the hills. I went there once with Emily when we were young and so in love. There was a grave there. A young child's. The stone said, "We really miss our little boy." Oh, sweet God, how I miss my own little ones. Rachel and Jolyon. Both resting with their mama. One day, I would wish to be joined with them again, Ryan.
Tears began to course down Doc's face, between the newly shaved furrows, dripping off the end of his chin and onto the table.
You hear me, Ryan? If it is humanly possible, then I would wish to be buried with my wife and children in Deadwood, if it still exists. They showed me a photo of the grave once, so I know they're there. Do that for me, Ryan.
If I can, Doc, but you gotta know that it's not likely.
No.
Chances of us being around that part when you finally buy the farm... Chances are, we'll have all gotten chilled before you, you old buzzard. You got more years left than the rest of us together.
Suddenly aware that he'd been weeping, the old man dabbed at his eyes.
Good of you to say so, my friend. But ask not for whom the teller bowls. He bowls for me. I believe that my memory has played some scurvy trick on me. That sounds to be a little awry. No matter. I should go and join my sweet bird with her youth. Good night, sweet friends. May choirs of angels sing you to your rests.
Doc made an unsteady bow and tottered off toward the room he was sharing with Laurie, the other three watching him go. It was Christy who broke the long, thoughtful silence.
I just hope the bastards who trolled him from his family died slow, cold, and alone.
JB stood up.
Odds are, they died hot and fast, Christy.
And alone?
Yeah, we all do.
With a nod of his head, JB left Ryan and Christy, closing the door quietly behind him.
Just you and me, lover.
Always.
Handful of Jack for your thoughts.
It's been a great evening. One of the best. That peach drink, good food, Doc's classic music. Just the six of us. Times we've seen, places we've been.
Getting old, lover. A sure sign when you start getting... What's the word I want? Nostalgic. That's it. You can't look back at yesterday, Ryan. Today's the one that really counts.
Guess you're right. How do you feel about going to bed?
Christy found some packets of deconstituted egg and cooked them in powdered milk, adding some shreds of freeze-dried bacon for something that approached an old-fashioned breakfast. They could wash it down with reheated coffee.
Stove's blinking on and off. Looks like some of the auxiliary power sources are giving up. Maybe even the main power. Be bad news for the gateway if it's that.
Ryan brushed his fingers through his hair.
Yeah, could be real bad. After we've eaten, we'll get everyone together and talk about it. Most times we've ended up in a redoubt, we take a look outside. Could be for once we should think about making another jump out of this place.
Oh, another jump? I need that like a rad shot in the head. Come to think of it, lover, that's just what another jump would feel like.
Jack and JB appeared 10 minutes later, followed by Doc. He apologized for Lori's lateness, explaining with blushing cheeks that it was her time of the month and she had stomach cramps. The discussion didn't take very long. Everyone was interested in going to find the freezing section of the redoubt. There was a general agreement that it was only fairly minor bits of electrical equipment that were failing, most of them coming off unimportant sections of the main power grid for the huge fortress complex. While the others were eating, finally joined by a pale-faced Laurie, Ryan decided that he'd go and freshen himself with another shower. The immaculate white tiles and the mirrored chrome taps and controls heightened his anticipation of the steaming water. Fortunately, Ryan turned off